Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our media call this morning. We're going to be talking about really a preview of what's to come for next week's G8 Open Data Conference. And here in the studio to talk about this and give you as much information as possible and hopefully make you want to come to the event next week are USDA's chief scientist, Dr. Catherine Witecki, and Dr. Simon Liu, who is the director of the National Agricultural Library here at USDA. And just so you'll know, a little housekeeping, if you'd like to ask a question of either of our two guests, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touchtone pad. And now I turn it over to Dr. Witecki. Good morning.
Good morning. We are here to talk about a really exciting conference next week that we've been playing a role in planning. It is being conducted under the auspices of the G8 countries, and it's all about open data for agriculture. How do we make all of the scientific information that comes out of research that we do here and that the other G8 countries do and make it useful for farmers in developing countries with the ultimate objective of improving food security? So we're talking about democratizing science and developing useful apps for farmers.
Now let's turn over to Dr. Simon Liu so that we can get some background. You are the National Agricultural Librarian, so you, I'm sure, have a lot of information that you can give us.
Thank you. Good morning. As Dr. Witecki pointed out, that the open data is really the main theme for the upcoming G8 conference. Although open data is a great thing, but it needs to be open in the right way to realize its full potential. What is the right way? I think the right way is to ensure that the data are accurate, reliable, useful, and then freely available. Of course, achieving that is very easy said than done, and with no single solutions. There are a few challenges that are standing our way. However, we have identified a comprehensive approach to address those challenges. And those challenges, let me outline here. First is the dispersion of the data. As you know, the agricultural system vary across the globe, and data are collected at thousands of locations. As a result, data can be very difficult to locate, access, manage, and preserve. So to address this challenge, here is our approach. First, we leverage data.gov and other existing portals to provide common entry points to help the user to locate and access relevant agriculture data. Second, we establish practical data management policies and some plans to ensure that agricultural data are properly managed throughout their life cycle rather than an afterthought. Third, build a repository to archive and preserve high-value agricultural data sets. Now, the second challenge we face is that the wide variety of data we have. As you know, that agricultural research covers many disciplines, such as biotechnology, ecology, soil conservation, food safety and security, nutrition, crop production and protections, and many other fields. So this breadth of topics, coupled with different methodology and approach used by researchers, that result in data of many different types and formats. Such a wide variety makes data difficult to interoperate, integrate, discover, and understand. Since we cannot change the nature of the research, so here we like to do. First, we promote and adopt a common data standard to improve interoperability. Second, we leverage advanced web technology to integrate heterogeneous data from dispersed locations to facilitate discovery. Third, we add a descriptive metadata to enrich the data set and make them discoverable and understandable. Now, the third and the final major challenge is applying the data and making them useful, like Dr. Witecki said, make them useful to address the food security issues. As you know, the agricultural data has a huge volume. So those huge volumes create big challenges for analyzing and applying data to support decision, to advance research, and to speed up the scientific discovery. Toward this end, here is what we like to focus on. First, providing tools to analyze synthesize and visualize large volume data sets. Second, leveraging the open source community and the partnership to develop applications and tools for various devices. Third, providing training and learning materials to enable users to analyze and apply data to solve real-world problems. So those are significant challenges. As I said at the beginning, overcome them is more easily said than done. But with this comprehensive approach, we will work to ensure that agricultural data are made open in the right way. In other words, they are accurate, reliable, useful, and freely available to the user so that they can be applied to solve the real-world problem. Thank you.
Thank you both. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question of Dr. Wotecki or Dr. Liu, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touchtone pad. You have given us a wealth of information, and of course, there is you have to have a very solid process. But one of the things that I know as being on the other end of it, one who would access this kind of information, you talked about there are various disciplines in agriculture. Explain some of the things that people will be able to access, the kind of information that will be useful for one coming to the site.
Well, let me give you a few examples, Susan. We are going to be using the U.S. government portal, data.gov, and on that portal we'll be announcing the release of over 300 different data sets that can be used by the private sector, by scientists in academic settings and in universities to develop applications. And the data that's going to be there is a wide array of different data. Some of it's genetics and genomics data that's going to be helpful for plant breeders who are trying to develop specific new varieties for Africa in particular, as well as other developing countries. There's also going to be our GRIN Global system, which provides plant breeders with access to the gene banks that we maintain here at USDA. And through this GRIN Global system, the International Agricultural Research Centers are also putting their gene bank data on it and making that available to plant breeders everywhere. We're going to be featuring statistics about our natural resources, soil, water, our ag statistics on plant production, crop production, animal production. We're going to have nutrition data, food composition data that would be helpful as well if people, when they do surveys of household food availability or individual nutritional status, these food composition data are very helpful. There will also be some information that's important for rural development purposes, rural infrastructure, rural communities. So this open data portal for the U.S. on agriculture and rural communities is going to provide all kinds of useful data. It's going to be a one-stop shop, easy to get into and to navigate. And our G8 partners coming to this meeting will also be announcing how they're going to be doing the same thing within their countries. So action plans for the G8 in making this agriculturally relevant data available for improving food security is what this is all going to be about.
If you'd like to join in on the conversation, let us know by pressing star 1 on your touchtone pad. One of the things that sounds really exciting about this, and this is something that is so wonderful about modern technology, is allowing people from anywhere in the world to access this information. And as we know, information is power. It's key. And I guess, I mean, what I envisioned when you were talking, Dr. Wotecki, is seeing somewhere, he's looking and seeing somewhere someone in a country where they have limited access to things, but having a computer and saying, oh, this is how I can make this seed work or make this plant work for me and I can feed more people, or I can do this scientifically, or it's not that hard. So it's kind of like it is revolutionary.
Yeah. Well, we believe that it's not going to be only those people with computers that are going to benefit from this. It's also going to be farmers with cell phones. And I can tell you, when I've traveled in really rural areas of Africa, I've been surprised at how many people have cell phones and that there will be kiosks in hamlets that are selling minutes. So farmers in developing countries do have access to cell phones, and we're hoping, and we believe it will happen, that by making our data available, that there will be applications that will be developed that are important for farmers. And we know that because there are some already. One of the examples for Kenya is that farmers there with dairy herds are able to monitor their cows when they're going into estrus and get a notification on their cell phone that now's the time for inseminating those cows. Really practical information for the farmer. And the farmer's also getting information about markets on the cell phone and current prices so that they can make better informed decisions about when they want to bring their livestock to market. So that's just one application. Another one that's been real important in sub-Saharan Africa is the ability to be able to predict when there are going to be famines or when there are going to be disease outbreaks in livestock. So there are available already applications that are taking advantage of weather data, of satellite data on the state of vegetation, as well as on-the-ground observations that allow for the predicting of famines. And we have an app that's called FuseNet that is the famine early warning system. And another application that is predicting the conditions for outbreaks of diseases like Rift Valley fever that affect cattle, and Rift Valley fever can also cause severe illness in people. And the ability to be able to make these kinds of early warnings means that producers, as well as the agricultural and the health authorities, can be better prepared for the either famine situation or outbreaks of animal diseases. So just like when weather data was made available, and now on my cell phone I've got not just one app but several that are telling me about the local weather conditions, we think that by making our agricultural data widely available that there are going to be more applications available not only here for farmers in the U.S., but also for farmers in the developing world.
It sounds like this is a great exchange of just information of what can work, possibilities that are limitless of what you haven't considered that you may want to consider or say, oh, wow, this will work for me.
There's that. There's also the engagement with young people. So we're at the conference going to have Scientists Without Borders and Engineers Without Borders participating. We think that there's lots of opportunities for students and also for the private sector to be developing applications and in the private sector developing new businesses. When you think about, again, the weather example or making the satellite data that's developed our global positioning system widely available, there have been new businesses that have been built on those open data. So we're hope that revolution is going to come to agriculture, and this is a really important first step that the G8 countries are taking to make our data relevant to agriculture, widely available, and challenging the private sector to join us.
We actually have a caller on the line, and we will go to Tracy Buxton with St. Bernard's Healthcare. Tracy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. We can hear you.
Great. That's a terrific resource that you're offering, but I have two questions. The data is wonderful to have available, but are there data analysis tools available for the farmers to access that they can understand? That's question number one. And then question number two, is there multilingual tech support available so that they can use the data and convert it into usable data?
Those are two really, really good questions. There are some data analysis tools that are available, and we'll be highlighting those in the course of the conference. And also, in the website that we will be making public on data.gov, the Food, Agriculture, and Rural Community, will also have information about already existing data analysis tools. The multilingual text is also something that we're going to have to work on. I mentioned earlier the GRIN Global System, which is the way that we're making our access to our gene banks more easily available. That is available in 5 other languages to ease people's access to it. But let me also turn to Dr. Liu, because this is what he does at the National Agriculture Library, and maybe, Dr. Liu, you can talk a little bit about some of the challenges with multilingual text and how you think we should be approaching that.
Well, the challenge is that the ability to have the so-called natural language understanding capability, and then after that, we will be able to translate. I think right now within the agricultural library, we do have a natural language understanding capability right now. Also, in our control vocabulary, right now we do have our language in English and also in Spanish. In the future, we will be able to expand to other languages. So with those two things in our hand, we will be able to translate our tools, our website into other languages. Let me point out one thing about the one point that Dr. Wataki pointed out, that this is the public and private partnerships. I would like to mention that in our portal within data.gov, we not only provide data set, but also the application, some of the interactive maps. So we have more than 40 applications there. Those 40 applications that people will be able to use to go there and then analyze and then visualize the data. In addition, in order to really encourage the business to develop the new applications, we do have the application programming interfaces. So those interfaces will be able to use by the application programmer, use that as a base to develop further more and more applications.
Once again, are you still there? You wanted to ask another question?
No, I think this is a wonderful resource. Once you make the data available and we have tools to translate it, I think the apps will come quickly and it'll be a huge resource for farmers all over the world. Thank you so much.
Once again, to join in the conversation, please let us know by pressing *1 on your touchtone pad. You talked about applications and engaging young scientists and engineers. Are you looking to them to help you create applications, or you already know what you want and they are already in the works?
Well, it's a combination. In some area that we know what we want, in other area we challenge the talent mind around the world to come up with some kind of solutions. And then just like we have a competition, some kind of telethon, so that people will be able to come and then come up with good idea. So it's a combination.
I might also add, Susan, that during the conference we have a session in which our partners in Africa, the New Alliance partners, which will be participating. We have in that session an opportunity for them to talk about the kinds of applications that they would like to see developed. This is in many ways going to be an ongoing dialogue. Our first step has been to identify all the data sets that we can make available to start the conversation, and that's what we're going to be highlighting at the conference. And then the engagement is going to be around, well, what are the applications beyond what's already available that people in the New Alliance partnership countries want to see developed, and then who's going to do it? Many African countries are now have people that are very skillful and are already developing applications for use within that country. And among the things we'll also be talking about are building that capacity further and how to, as a next stage of this project, how do we go about that capacity building? So first step is get the data out there. Second step is now, what is it we want to do with it beyond the applications that are already available?
You say that you are now amassing the information. Where is it coming from? Just experts and also people's just individual personal experiences or a combination of all of that?
Well, the data are coming from two primary sources. The data that will be on the U.S. government data.gov portal are coming from multiple departments within the federal government. Certainly we here at USDA, through our research programs and our statistical agency programs, National Agricultural Statistics Service, are those data sets are going to be the primary contribution that to the over 300 data sets that are going to be made available. So the other federal agencies that are providing information include, you know, the Geological Survey, the NASA, and Agency for International Development. So there are many other government agencies that have got relevant data that's that are also going to be made available. So U.S. government is the first source. The second source is the private sector. And there will be announcements during the meeting next week of from companies and other organizations making their data available publicly as well. And I think that, you know, this fact that it's not just government-sponsored research or government-sponsored surveys that are becoming part of this open data revolution, it's also the private sector.
Once again, we are coming down to our last about 10 minutes. If you'd like to join the conversation, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touchtone pad. One thing, though, that people will ask is, where's the funding coming from? Has it already been paid for? Is it something that's coming out of a new budget? Because, of course, we are having budget constraints. So that is a legitimate question, you know, coming from here in Washington.
Well, the data sets that are being made available are ones that the government has already invested in. So these are data that are the result of our research programs, the result of our statistical surveys and census of agriculture, all summarized, all being made available. So it in many ways reflects the past investment that we've made in science and in our ag statistics programs. The costs of putting together this kind of a website are very small. And over time, there certainly will be, again, some minor costs that are associated with maintaining it. We think that the payoff, though, for the farmer here in the U.S. as well as the farmer in the developing world is going to be so great that that, you know, very minor amount of funding to maintain these open data portals is going to be well worth it. So, you know, there's not much cost that's associated with this.
Who is the conference open to? Can anybody come?
Well, we're limited in space to 350 people. We're partnered with the World Bank, and they've provided the venue for the meeting. And those 350 people are going to be from the G8 countries that are participating in this, with the companies that are making data available, as well as the our partners in Africa, the New Alliance countries, and also a number of other countries that are rich in agricultural data. So we've got some representatives from a number of other countries like Australia that will be participating in the meeting. There, for those who are interested, there's been a registration process. You can join and view it with an internet hookup.
So it'll be live streamed?
Yes,
okay.
It will be. So that we're expecting that there will be several thousand people who will have visited our open data website and who will have registered to watch the live stream from the conference.
Will it be interactive where people can ask a question, or is it strictly just for watching?
I think it's going to be pretty much restricted to watching.
And this is a two-day conference, so it's Monday of next week and Tuesday.
But let me also point out, we're going to have a live Twitter feed. So if people want to tweet, we're going to be able to actually watch that Twitter discussion ongoing as the conference is ongoing.
So therefore, the public's questions may very well get addressed then, because you'll have access to seeing what they are interested in.
Yeah, we'll definitely be seeing what's being tweeted.
Well, I think that we've covered just about everything, and of course, this is again next week, 2-day international conference on with the G8 ag leaders, and they're going to be talking about open data, agriculture data, so that everybody has access to what each other is doing and the different things that work and don't work. And the information for the Twitter, it is hashtag OpenAgData. So if you want to get in on that part of the conversation, and for those of you who do Twitter, that's available to you. And wondering, do you guys have any closing remarks that you want people to know about other than making sure that they listen to what's going on Monday and Tuesday of next week? Oh, and also the time, so that people will know.
The time? We're starting at 8:30 Monday morning. We'll be running long both days, Monday and Tuesday. And I guess what I'd like to end with is a challenge. This is, as I've said, a first step, letting people know open data is there. Open data, we believe, is going to play an important role in food security. And the challenge is in the applications. And we need good minds in companies. We need good minds in students and in academia, thinking about what kinds of applications can be built off of these data. And that is going to be our challenge.
Okay. Well, with that, I want to thank Dr. Kathleen Wilkecki. She is USDA's Chief Scientist, and Dr. Simon Liu, Director of the National Agricultural Library, and for everyone who is on the line. Thank you.